threw myself a loop and overthought this. Oh, we're here. Hi, everybody out there. Absent-minded professor. All right. I had this idea. I had this idea there were more verses in this chapter, and I'm thinking of the next chapter, and that got me confused. So in the regards to the current confusion, way to go, Jack. I'm talking to myself. All right. We'll wrap this up with 14 and 15. I know that this is kind of a strange section because we do not have that type. We have believers that can cause believers to stumble. We have believers that can take their freedom in Christ and probably cause someone to stumble. We're not talking about doing sinful things that cause people to stumble. That's never legitimate. We're talking here about things where our freedom in Christ might cause a weaker believer to stumble. So while this is not anything that is, as far as I know, there that is not an issue here in this congregation at this point in its history. But you file it away in case there is an issue that surfaces. We've noted that the weak believer is the believer who has false scruples with regard to the topics of eating, specifically meat, drinking alcohol, or special days. And so in the Roman church, there apparently were those types that attached themselves to the church and was confronted with the food, drink, days issue. We also noted that the strong believer has a higher responsibility in the presence of the weak believer and not to treat the weak believer in a shabby way because the weak believer in this area happens to be legalistic. All right. I'm just picking up with 18. Where'd I stop?
12.
I stopped with 12. Thank you. Verse 20b reiterates verse 14. 14, Paul once again states the proper divine viewpoint with respect to food. 15, all foods are clean, and therefore no violation of Scripture occurs when consumed. 16, the man who eats is the weak believer whose conscience is such that he cannot eat and not experience guilt, i.e., get out of fellowship. So he shouldn't be doing it just because he's heard it. The weak believer needs to build up his spiritual frame of reference and get over false guilt. 17, gives offense is the result of a weak believer eating certain foods, certain types of food, and cannot do so with a clear conscience. 18, to serve the weak certain foods is to make him stumble. You would invite him over and know he's that way and do that. 19, verse 21 is also directed towards the strong. 20, here is the first mention of wine, alcohol. There's a whole separate doctrine of drinking in this regard. 21, also, Paul uses the more specific term meat, since this was the type of food that offended the weak in Rome, and I don't have a clue as to what their background might be. It certainly doesn't fit the Jewish pattern that had restrictions with regard to certain types of meat, like pork. We could understand that. We saw how offended Peter was there in Acts 10, I believe. And when he saw all these different things that were forbidden under the Mosaic covenant, due to the ritual code. And he was strongly, his norms and standards were strong in that way, and he didn't just immediately overcome it. But he did, and got lined up with it. So, in verse 21b, Paul exhorts believers not to do anything that makes other believers stumble, taking the topic to another level. 23, the strong is addressed in verse 22. 24, while they are not to parade their freedoms before the weak, they are to stay firm in their convictions and liberty before God. Again, like I said, I don't know of anything in this situation that remotely resembles this as an issue. So, but it's in the scripture, it's in Romans, and we're committed to finishing the book up, and so here it is. This is what these believers in their point in time had to deal with. Just as we have certain things that we have to deal with at our point in the church age. 25. Here, Paul vindicates the strong. The convictions of the strong. That they have as a part of their good conscience. We have this expression in the Bible, the good conscience. That's the conscience that is built up on the norms and standards of the Word of God. That puts His commandments and His directive will first and foremost. That's the good conscience. And that has to be reprogrammed, not meaning everything in your conscience is bad. Obviously, you know, unbelievers know that you shouldn't be doing this and this and this and this. But the good conscience is the one that relates the believer properly to God and His directive will. And that's another matter. That involves the entire viewpoint that's found scattered throughout Scripture. The good conscience. In other words, the strong believer in this department has the good conscience. And he is vindicated here. This would have been read before the whole congregation, all the Roman saints. A believer sitting out there could say, "Oh, I'm a weak believer. I just can't bring myself to go do that." And the strong believer knows that I'm not doing anything out of line as long as I don't harass the weak believer about this. We're not talking about personal opinions rather than those held before God. The faith which you have is the product. The word faith is used in two ways. It's used in the active sense. I believe that, or I have faith. I'm walking by faith. I'm trusting. And then it is used in the action as a synonym for the truth. Keep the faith. That refers to the body of truth, which requires all doctrines. In order to assimilate those, you have to at some point in your time in Bible class and so forth, yeah, I believe that. That's right on. You become convinced of it. You see it. The proof is laid out before you. And you exhale faith in it and say, I believe it. And that's faith in the active sense. The faith which you have is the product of the intake of divine viewpoint on matters pertaining to food, drink, and days. In other words, they should not surrender their God-inspired convictions. 29, only that they should not intimidate the weak. 30, in verse 22b, there is an even more forceful way of making the point that the strong are in the will of God. Even a more forceful way. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. He has plus H. He can sit down with that steak, that meat, and that bottle of wine and have plus H. I'm not doing anything. Again, overeating, overdrinking, I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about the normal thing. He can do this with plus H. Engage in it. The informed and strong believer has joy, happiness, when he eats or drinks as his conscience is clear. 32, he is pronounced blessed or happy as he eats and drinks. Even eating and drinking, he is applying Bible doctrine. This is legitimate. There's nothing wrong with this. He experiences no self-condemnation in what he approves. 34, verse 23 is addressed to the weak. The weak believer who eats and violates his conscience stands in sharp contrast to the strong believer of verse 22. 36, if the weak eats and drinks with a faulty conscience, the result is guilt. 37, guilt that is unjustified and makes him miserable. You have a guilty conscience because of legalistic or false norms and standards. But you're going to go ahead and do it anyway because you've heard it's okay, but you haven't come to the point where you put to rest this false standard that keeps popping up in your soul. Not eating from faith stirs up the guilt complex and violates the dictum. Whatever is not from the source of faith is sin. Wow, that would apply to a lot of things. That action is not from the source of faith. So it's a sin. It's a violation. And this is on a broader scale. Apart from faith, we cannot please God. The things you learn and the things you come to understand about God and His plan, you're expected to do in hail faith. Let me give you the illustration. When you take in air, that's inhale. When you sit in Bible class and you take in divine viewpoint and you're sitting there over the years, you hear something, it clicks, yeah, I believe that. I can't force it on you. I wouldn't want to. You, of your own free will, look at it and look at the evidence and say that's the truth. That's inhale faith. Exhale faith is when you go out and apply these things to your personal life. We sometimes call it faith rest. So that's inhale, exhale. We always start off inhaling. First breath of our human existence was an inhale. That's when you got your soul. The baby, the newborn, out from the womb, boom, boom, boom. That's when they get their soul. The pattern is Adam in the garden. Don't forget this. Adam in the garden, what did he get first? His soul or his body? He got a full-blown male adult body laying there naked in the middle of that garden of Eden. And he was just laying there like this. And God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. He created for Adam a soul. His eyes popped open. He had his brain computer loaded with enough information to function as an adult. Yeah, there's a certain, they call it the time of innocence, which I understand what that means, without the experience and time of all this other stuff coming on. And Adam became a living soul. The only difference was he didn't pass through childhood and adolescence. Neither did Eve. They hit the ground as adults. It's the only way it could be. The only thing that makes any sense as to how we got here. And she is the mother of all living. Eve. The only thing that makes sense. The way all this other stuff got here with all this pseudoscience, it's disgusting. It's just stupid. It's beneath human beings to think. Look around you and see all the animals and creatures and plants and all the things that interact, and they all evolved. They would have perished before they got started. Well, we sometimes sit around and talk about, I observe things in the creation, and I know that there's genius behind it, and that all these things interacted or interdependent, they're dependent on one another. And they can't come to pass, well, in this age, this happened. And they teach this in schools. It's a part of atheism. They're basically teaching kids to be atheists and therefore God-haters. With this stuff, one superintendent down in Florida, one district I read an article back, he instructed all the biology teachers, you do not teach evolution as a fact. You teach it as a theory. So everything that has a theory attached to it, gang, all of it is fake. It's not provable. A theory is a theory. You watch a police program? Well, I have a theory of what went down. That doesn't make it fact. It has to be proven, each of the points to establish the connection of this individual to the crime. If you don't know what the word theory means, look it up. You certainly do. It's an idea someone came up with. An idea of someone with a very high IQ and a great imagination who is devoted to this thing. Whether it's any of those theories, Big Bang, evolution, gravitation, they still call it that. Theory of gravitation. Sir, what causes gravitation? This guy from NASA, that's their spokesman, I would call him that. He's their upfront guy. He ran around in such convoluted circles answering that person's question from the audience that you go, what? It's just mumbo jumbo. He couldn't even get straight. Well, what's the shape of the earth? He gave several ideas. He even had it pear-shaped. Good grief. And these are the kind of things that are out there today. And I didn't have enough sense when I went through high school. I didn't have enough sense. Of course, I'd have got blown off if I'd done it. I'd ask any hard questions. Who am I to ask questions about their science? You're not a scientist. No, but I have logic. And I can ask you a question that your system violates what we all know from observation. So what are you going to do with that? You know, my favorite one was, I had a dream about it last night too, trying to convince some people of it. How is it that the Nile runs uphill? How is it? Don't tell me it doesn't if you're on a ball. Because it starts in Africa and it goes north. Just as the Mississippi comes south. Second largest, longest river on earth, all the way deep in Africa, all the way up and dumps into the Mediterranean Sea. It would have to go uphill on curvature. Is there a chapter on it in their literature? Is this magic? Water doesn't do that. Water seeks its lowest level. However circuitous, it goes down. It never goes up. Well, you can pump water up, but we're not talking about that kind of intervention. There's no pumping involved here. It's Mother Nature, as they call it. And the height of the land, we're at the headwaters of the Nile, and at the end, there's hardly, it's just about a foot difference. You don't take my word for it. We'll look it up. Is that in their damn science books? Hey, children, we have it. If some smart kid looked at this and said, hey, teach. What about this? I'm not having to be disrespectful. What about this? Her eye, it looked like she got hit. Nobody challenges this. Well, there are those that challenge it. It's all over the web now. Once the cat got out of the bag, you got it all wrong. This stuff, like evolution, was all made up and sold to people through comic books, TV programs, textbooks, what have you. And I'm telling you, the top leaders of the world know the truth. They're in a firmament, domed, flat earth with an ice wall around it. And that's why nobody can go into Antarctica. Visitors are not welcome. 10 nations agreed to this after World War II. And then that's when all this space business came up, right? And every day in the news, I see something. Oh, we're going to do this, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, right on. You're going to do this. Even if you believe the Earth was a spinning ball running around the sun at 66,600 miles an hour. Blah, 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 blah. And you can't detect anything. But we're doing that. That's what I call faith. You couldn't go to outer space. If you got out there, there's no air. Einstein said so. So it's got to be true, right? He's a genius. And he's got a bunch of mathematical formulas on a board. Einstein. Theory of relativity. Einstein. They ask him, what's out there? They thought maybe it was ether or something. Ether is something. Oh, it's just a vacuum. Oh, really? That means a vacuum. Like no air, no nothing. And you're going to shoot rockets in a vacuum? You're going to steer them like on Star Wars? And the heat coming out of that, what's it pushing against? A vacuum? You can't launch anything in a vacuum. You really can't do it. They've tried it. The cylinder, big cylinders. Get a firework type thing down there. Light it. It just sits there. It can't go. A jet needs this. So all this stuff they've been lying to us about. We found another planet. You found it between your ears. That's where you found it. We know there's alien civilizations. And so demons get to mess with people. And God lets them. Angels can appear in a lot of wild forms. Read Revelation. When they come up out of the pit. And they're scary damn things. They're multi-animal mixed up things. And they torture people for 5 months. And they come up out of the abyss. So they can look like little gray men. They can look like a saucer. They can do any of this stuff. And fake the dummies out on Earth. And then the elite use it to scare the hell out of people. They did it back. They did it back. Orson Welles, 1938, War of the Worlds. The Martians are coming. We didn't have TV then. We had radio. I wasn't alive then, so I'm not that old. Okay? 1938. Americans were freaking out. They were jumping in their vehicles and their trucks and running to the hills. It was a spoof. Orson Welles. And certain presidents have made certain pronouncements about out there that isn't out there. What's underneath the dome is demons and fallen angels that can mess with people like you can't even believe if they're allowed to. From possession to externalization of manifestation of things, we are an age of mass deception. Doctrine will free you from it. And you don't have to have them jerking your strings. So apart from faith, we're not pleasing to God. Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is. That's first and foremost. You've got to believe that God exists. Well, He's invisible, immaterial, but how can I believe something I can't see? You have the external evidence for His existence in the creation. It is more than adequate to prove an all-powerful, all-wise creator. This stuff doesn't happen on its own. Nothing didn't create everything. That's nuts. Try to tell that in a courtroom. That kind of logic. You'd be run out. I mean, that's what they do. You've got to believe that He is, okay? And that He is a rewarder of those who seek him. Oh, we like rewards. We like promotions. We like things. So he is a rewarder. And if God has done this in the creation, think what your rewards are going to be as a believer beyond this life. He's blessed me in time, like in a lot of ways, and continues to do so. I wanted to add one thing, because someone had asked. And I told the Board of Deacons this. Excuse me. My health, and that health test I went through, and this is the truth, I don't exaggerate. It's like nothing ever happened with regard to those issues that I had. It really is. It's like nothing ever happened. It's kind of crazy. Well, it's good crazy. It's like nothing ever happened. And that was serious stuff, apparently, that I went through during that ordeal with regard to my physiology. And I'm here to tell you that. So thank you for your prayers. God does work miracles. He does. And he's done this for me more than once with regard to my health. I told you the story back in, 2016? When I had this issue and I had to go in, and they told me down there that my kidneys were this close to total failure. 4 or 5 days later, they came back with another test and said they're 100%, Jack, and there's nothing we did. Nothing. We didn't give you some medicine, get you nothing. 100%. That happened to me. So, and I'm not bad-mouthing what the medical profession did for me. In my case, at least, what they did, I think, was helpful. But on top of all of that, this is where I'm at right now. And I thank you for your prayers in this regard, because we got to make this to the end. And the things now, today, nobody could have, 5 years ago even, maybe, foreseen and told you the insanity that exists in the hearts of men and leaders. I mean, it's sad. The stuff that they're saying and espousing and promoting that is just absolutely bonkers, stupid. And trying to and inseminating this into children. Those who cause children to stumble, woe be to them. Anyway, all right, that's enough. I'll see you. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.